Chapter 1, The First Two Laws of Passive Income, Why There Never Seems to Be Enough Time. When I was a kid growing up in New Jersey, my mother kept a greeting card on the corner of her dresser. On the front, an attractive couple dressed in white walked the sand of a beautiful beach in the Virgin Islands. My dad gave that card to my mom. Inside, he had written, "This will be us someday. We'll travel to these places and spend time together as a family." The world, however, had other plans. My dad worked hard. He was always the salesman, but he never seemed to catch a break. He sold electric typewriters, just as computers were on the rise. He worked commission sales, just as the recession hit. He started a business, just as the products went out of style. Through it all, he struggled with money. Over time, the card on my mom's dresser faded, and the dream did too. We never took that trip to the Virgin Islands, spending most of the long winters in New Jersey instead. My parents never dressed in white linen or walked that beach. It wasn't for lack of desire. My dad was a kind man, and I know he meant those words. I respected him deeply. What held him back was the lack of freedom and financial resources to bring the words to life. I watched my father miss out, but I was determined to live the way that he only dreamed of. If we only get one shot at this life, I was going to live someday today. But how? My dad had always encouraged me to run my own business, to go my own way, but I'd watched him fail trying to do just that. How was I going to avoid following in his footsteps? The five ways real estate makes money. The more I read, the more people I spoke to, the more often real estate seemed to come up. I'd heard that 90% of millionaires made their money in real estate, and it seemed to solve the riddle I was trying to crack. It was a way to run your own business, like my dad always said, but it also offered a way to live the life my parents never could. Real estate, I was learning, made money in a lot of ways. Five of them, by my count. One, appreciation. Real estate was an asset that rose in value over time. Two, leverage. Unlike most other assets, like stocks, you could buy a lot of real estate for very little money. Three, debt paydown. Over time, someone else, a tenant, could pay off that real estate. Four, tax benefits. Depreciation, interest deduction on debt, exchanges. There were a lot of tax advantages that were specific to real estate. Five, cash flow. Real estate could put money in your pocket every month. The previous year, I'd made about $24,000 and every dollar felt like a grind. The idea of more money, no matter how it arrived, seemed like a win to me. Five ways of making money just had to be better than one. That's when the seeds of my real estate dream were planted. If I could just buy one property, I thought, wouldn't that be something? Later that year, I found my opportunity. It was a triplex not far from where I lived. I knew the area well, but I was sweating buckets when I put in the offer. It was almost seven times my salary. I'd never seen that much money, never mind spend it. When the offer was accepted, I had a small moment of panic, then I dove in. Almost right away, it was a huge success. And just like that, I was making money in real estate. Naturally, my dream began to grow. What if I could buy three properties next year? Three, of course, was a lot for a guy with no money. I began to look at foreclosures, which were a lot cheaper and the sellers more motivated. I found someone to help finance the deals with, just 10% down. I'd ask the seller to pay the closing costs and roll it all into the price and mortgage. That meant we'd only need to come up with a few thousand dollars to buy a house. We could buy a property, flip it, and make $10,000. We bought three that year, just as I'd hoped. I started to think, what if I could buy one every month? And so on, flip, flop. At that point, it was clear I was starting to make money. In the back of my mind was that greeting card on my mother's dresser. That unrealized dream. I'm going to do it differently, I thought. And I was, but I was also working hard. Flipping was a grind. Over and over, I'd hustle to buy and sell a property. Then I'd watch the new owner put tenants in the house and start collecting rent every month. Wait a minute, I thought. All those flips I had done. Where was that money? What did I have to show for it? I looked back at the five ways real estate makes money. That's when it hit me. They only worked if you held the properties. One, appreciation. We weren't holding long enough for the market to rise. Any appreciation I got was from all the effort that went into the flip. Two, leverage. We were leveraged, but flipping was uncertain. We were never sure if I had gotten it right until we sold. Every ounce of leverage meant more stress. Three, debt paydown. There was no tenant paying our mortgage. We were paying it out of pocket until we could get the property sold. Four, tax benefits. Most tax advantages really only stacked up in the long run. Five, cash flow. All of our properties were under renovation from day one. We had negative cash flow, and then we sold them for a one-time payout. I couldn't believe it. Not only was I missing out on almost all the benefits of real estate, but every time I sold a house, I was starting over. The active income trap. Work, flip, repeat. I was making more money, yes, but I was grinding. I wasn't walking the beach anytime soon. Rehabbing and flipping houses, I was learning, was active income. It was another way to trade time for money. If I stopped hustling, stopped renovating, stopped looking for deals, the money stopped too. All the money was coming from what was, in effect, a second job. That moment was more than a light bulb coming on. It was like a bucket of cold water. This is why my dad never reached his dreams. Even when he tried to make his own way, my father had been stuck in an active income trap. To make more money, he always needed more time. And to make enough money to live out the dream on the card he'd given my mother, that would always take more time than he had. If I followed my dad's path, there would never be enough time. The two laws of passive income. Instead of active income, I realized I needed passive income. Passive income offered freedom through two key characteristics. One, it takes very little effort. If you have to show up to get paid, it's not passive. If income requires ongoing work on your part, it's active income, not passive. Real estate typically generates passive income in the form of rental income. Two, it's predictable. Passive income is also stable income. If an income source varies wildly from month to month, two things happen. First, you start to worry about it. Second, you begin to work to maintain it. Worry and work are for active income, not passive. Real estate is an excellent way to build predictable cash flow. Passive income must meet two key criteria. As long as it didn't break those rules, income became passive, giving it a near magical ability to disconnect time from money. It was a way to break out of the cycle my dad had always been stuck in. Finally, I understood why every mentor had been telling me to hold real estate. Holding properties instead of selling them unlocked the full range of real estate benefits. It would give me income each month that was less effort and more predictable than flipping. I, of course, was doing the opposite. My current real estate strategy took a lot of effort, and it was unpredictable. It was worse than a second job. If I changed my approach, I could not only replace the income from my job, but I could count on that money. It would come in whether I showed up at work or not. That was the turning point. That was how I would live the way my dad had dreamed of. It was how I would get the beach and the freedom and the family time. True passive income was my ticket to a legendary family life, the 100 house mission. I now had a new mission. I was staying in real estate, but I was going to change my approach. Instead of flipping, we'd hold properties. The first task was to learn how to be an investor, not a flipper. I was always keen to learn, and I loved to study how other people had become successful. I kept hearing about something called the 100 House Club. If you could get 100 properties, the idea went, you were set for life. The passive income would pay your way, and over time you'd become wealthy. I became fixated on the idea. Just get 100 houses, just get 100 houses. That was my mantra. The trick, however, was that the market was becoming competitive. Buyers were showing up in my part of California from San Francisco and LA and bidding homes up to well over value. They were closing with no conditions. The high prices meant there was no cash flow. No cash flow meant no passive income. At that rate, I'd either never get 100 houses or they'd bankrupt me. So I started looking out of state. Someone suggested Northeast Florida. I'd always liked the East Coast. I grew up there, and we'd gone to Disney as a kid. I decided to check it out. It was much better than California. Houses were cheap. To my 100 house mind, it was the promised land. I got to work, 100 houses, and I'd have all the passive income I needed. I'd bring my family to that beach just like my dad had always promised. I was going to have a legendary family life. What I didn't have was context. No one told me that passive income was more complicated than it sounded in the books. And certainly no one told me, hey, passive income can also destroy your life. So I kept going. I was chasing those 100 houses, no matter what. Then the context arrived. Key points. Chapter 1. Real estate makes money in five ways: appreciation, leverage, debt paydown, tax benefits, and cash flow. To access all those benefits, you need to hold properties, not flip them. Otherwise, real estate is active income, not passive. It's a second job. Passive income has two key characteristics. It takes little effort and is predictable. True passive income is what opens the door to a legendary family life.